Pleasure to be here, and I thank the organizer for inviting me to this conference. So what I'm interested in is to study the long-term behavior of a non-negative solution for the following equation. As you can see, this is some kind of generalization of the heat equation and the porous medium and fast diffusion equation when P is equal to 2. So in my talk here, I'll assume existence of solution of this equation. And what I wanted to estimate is the rate at which the solution converges to equilibrium, in the sense that I'll defend soon. So yesterday, actually, Dan Slepche gave a really nice talk on the assembly behavior of this equation when P is equal to 2, using the idea of the gradient flow of O2. So you can prove that when P is equal to 2, this equation can be written as a gradient flow in the set of probability density. Otto proved that, okay, the set of probability can be looked at as a manifold, and this equation, when P is equal to 2, is a gradient flow of some entropy functional with respect to the Wachenstein distance. And using this idea, then you can get a really nice OP rate for the convergence to equilibrium. But when P is different from 2, let's say for the case of the P-Laplacian equation, for instance, so it's not known if it's a gradient flow. No, it's not known. But what is nice is that this, for the P-Laplacian or this type of equation, they have some very nice properties which are similar to the property of the gradient flow. And this property, that's what we'll use. And using this property, you can prove, use pretty much with similar ideas of gradient flow, that you can get also some assembly behavior of the solution. But the cost that you pay here is maybe the rate that you get won't be the sharp rate. It might not be the optimal rate. Because when you have a gradient flow, actually the rate is given by the Hessian of the entropy functional. Then once you can prove some spectral gap about the eigenvalue, okay, at zero of the Hessian, then it will give you immediately the sharp rate of convergence. But now here, since we don't know yet, okay, that's the gradient flow, then the idea here is to try to find some estimate. So I'll do some kind of, so the estimate is a little bit rough, but in the case when P is equal to 2, it gives me the sharp rate. So let me give you a rough idea about. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, here. So that'll be actually, here is the main step, okay, that we use to prove, okay, the convergence to equilibrium. So the first thing is, so we need to identify, okay, what is the equilibrium of the equation. Okay, once, okay, you identify the equilibrium of solution of the equation, then you want to find what is the right Lyapunov functional associated to this equation. So Lyapunov functional, what I mean by that is a functional, okay, which depends on the solution of the equation, and this functional has to decrease in time. So, and exactly, okay, when the solution, when rho t is equal to the rho infinity, so this, the derivative will be equal to zero. So what it's telling you is that the energy of the solution decreases, and when time goes to infinity, it decreases to the equilibrium, to the energy of the equilibrium solution. And now what you want to do now is to measure the rate at which this convergence holds. And to measure the rate at which the convergence holds, so one idea is to establish this kind of inequality here. So you want it to compare the relative energy, the energy at every time t, and the energy at the equilibrium. You want it to compare with the energy dissipation equation. And once you get this, combining these two equations, and assume that, okay, rho infinity doesn't depend on time, then you get immediately a convergence in relative entropy, and the rate is alpha there. So if this inequality here is sharp, then you get immediately a sharp rate there. Now what's happening is actually when you have a gradient flow, so you can get a sharp rate there, because this alpha is given by the Hessian. So once you compute the Hessian of the entropy, if you prove that the Hessian is uniformly convex, convexity with respect to some, which you define some convexity in your manifold. So if you prove that uniformly convex with rate alpha, then it gives you immediately the sharp rate there. But now, what I'll do for the Pillar-Flaschen equation, so I don't know if it's a gradient flow, but I'll use another method to prove this type of inequality here. So once you get it, then it means that you get immediately convergence in relative entropy. And okay, the method we use here is actually is come from okay the optimal transportation. So in optimal transportation, what you have is that, I mean, if you take, let's say that you have two densities, two probability densities, and then you can find a path okay between the two probability densities, and there you can measure how okay, the energy of the energy at every time t, you can measure how the energy evolves. So when you have two states, then you measure the difference of the two energy, and then you compare it to the entropy dissipation. So once you have a good comparison, then you can get some inequality like this. Maybe the alpha might not be optimal, but it gives you some rate. So that'll be the idea I'll use here. And now if you get the rate, if you get the convergence in relative entropy, from there you can get the convergence, you can get really sharp, either sharp convergence. For instance, convergence in the Wachenstein distance. Because there is a relation between the relative entropy and the Wachenstein distance, which is called actually the transport inequality, or in the case p equal to, it's called the Tarragon inequality. And also, there is another relation that relates the entropy, the relative entropy to the L1 knob, which is called the Chisar-Kullback. So if you have convergence relative entropy, you can get convergence Wachenstein distance, and you can get convergence also in L1 knob. So the idea is just to prove this convergence relative entropy. So before I do this, so let me. Oh yeah, I think there is one thing I need to mention also. So here I was also saying that I want okay rho infinity to be independent of time. So you see in this type of equation, so the solution that we get actually will depend on time. Let's say for instance in the case p equal 2 is the Barenboim solution, which is a solution depending on time. So the idea here is what we'll try to find a change of variable. So to rewrite okay rho infinity as you rescale the whole equation in such a way that you can move rho infinity to another, let's say rho hat infinity, which will be a equilibrium solution of some other equation. And now we'll work okay on the rescaling equation, and then later on then we get the solution for in the general case. And yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah. That. Okay. I'm working on first. Okay. I'm working in the whole space. Yeah. In the whole space. So. Yeah. The solution rho can vanish. But the idea. Okay. What you do is first. Okay. I started. Okay. With sub rho zero. Then you modify the rho zero in such a way that let's say that it doesn't vanish. And now then you can prove that with some kind of maximum principle. You can prove that all solutions also they don't vanish. Okay. You have an equation which is not degenerate. Then you prove your whole inequality, and then later on, then in the limit, you can prove that the whole thing works. Yeah. Sorry, no, I won't go through that. So yeah, the whole thing here is kind of formal. And so one condition also that we need to impose. So if I wanted to conclude okay, convergence relative entropy, I want okay this energy here also to be finite. So initially, I have to assume that the energy okay at time t equals zero is finite. Okay, so now that will be the energy actually will be okay the Lyapunov functional that I need to cook up. So let's say for in the case of the heat equation, that one is known is the entropy. In the case of the porous medium equation, it's some power function. And here also the same thing will happen. Because okay, my equation is some kind of generalization of the heat equation and the porous medium equation. So when I take m equal 1 over p minus 1, will be the generalization of the heat equation, then I get exactly the entropy. But when m is different from 1 over p minus 1, then I'll get also some power. But the power will be different from the power of the porous medium and fast diffusion. Okay, so I need to move back. So let me say, few things about the previous result and this. I mean, some of them were already mentioned yesterday by Dan. So in the case P equal 2, M equal 1, where the equation is the Hill equation, and M is different from 1, but bigger than 1 minus 2 over the dimension is the porous medium equation for M bigger than 1, and the fast diffusion equation for M less than 1. So the asymptotic behavior of the equation is completely already described, and is given by the Barenboim profile. And these are the people who work on it. So first, you have Friedman and Kamen. So they proved that the solution converges to equilibrium, but they did not obtain any rate. And the rate was obtained later on by Otto, Delpino, and Delbo for the case M bigger than 1 minus 1 over the dimension. And there was, I mean, the gap now, 1 minus over 2 over N, 1 minus 1 over N, was covered by all these people. And by the way, I need to mention also the new paper of Marken and Slepche, which I didn't know. Actually, it was only yesterday that I knew about it. Now, okay, let's take the case P different from 2, which is actually which is the main case, okay, I'm interested in here. P different from 2 and M equal 1 is the P-Laplacian equation. So apparently only two people, okay, work on this case. So the first was, two group of people. First, Kamen and Vasquez, they proved that the solution converges to equilibrium in L1 and L infinity norm, but they didn't obtain any rate of convergence. And later on, Delbo and Delpino, they prove that you have convergence. They obtain some rates, but only when the P is less than M. And by the way, in the first case, I think they assume that P has to be bigger than 2N over N plus 1. So then Delbo and Delpino, yeah, prove it in this case. And that first, okay, you see that there are two gaps. Okay, the gap between 2n over n plus 1 and 2n plus 1 over n plus 1, and p bigger than n. So what I show here is that I have a convergence for every p bigger than 2n plus 1 over n plus 1. Then I cover, okay, the right gap. And I prove that the rate I get actually is the rate 1. And this rate is sharper than the rate of Delbo in the Delpino, only in the case when p is bigger than 2, but unfortunately is weaker when it's p is less than 2, which showed me actually that my rate is not optimal. And so far, I don't know how to cover the other gap. And we'll see in the proof where it comes from. Yeah. P is the P in the P Laplacian, for instance. Yeah. Yeah, gradient let P, because the P Laplacian is. Yeah. And so, by the way, I will assume that all my P's bigger than. Okay. Now, okay, the same assumption as I assumed before. So I wanted my rho zero. I wanted my rho zero to be to have finite mass. So, and then I normalize it to be 1, then rho 0 will be a probability density here. And also, I want the energy at time t equals 0 to be finite. Okay, what I'll call energy here is the following. So I have, okay, two things. I have the moment, the Q moment, so I want it to be finite. And also, I want, okay, the entropy, so for the case of the Hill equation, and all the L gamma norm to be finite. So here we have, okay, two regimes when M is bigger than 1 over P minus 1, and N is different from 1 over P minus 1. And now you can combine all these three hypotheses into the following one, so that rho 0 has to be a probability density, and this energy here has to be finite. F of rho 0, which is the internal energy, plus here the potential energy, and the C is this cost function. And now, using this notation, you can rewrite the whole equation, the equation that I had before. You can rewrite it in the following form. Where the C is my XQ over Q, and the C star is the Legendre transform of C. So all my results here will be on this equation, which is a little bit more general than the previous one. But only, the cases that are known, the real, the physical cases are only, okay, the previous equation. Okay. Now, okay, few facts, okay, about this equation. So we know, okay, first, you know that you have a conservation of mass under some assumption of m. I think m has to be bigger than n minus p over n times n. What is this? Yeah. P has to be bigger than this value here. And also, you have, okay, the fundamental solution, which looks a little bit like the Barenboim profile in this case here. So for m equal 1 over p minus 1, or m different, or m bigger than this value, then you can prove that the solution, the equilibrium solution, will look like this, where the rho infinity in the case 1 over p minus 1 is the Gaussian, and the other case looks like the Barenboim profile. And what is nice also is that this, the rho infinity hat here, is actually some stationary solution of the rescale equation. Yep. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's true. So you have, okay, conservation of mass, and then you have the fundamental solution that looks like this. And again, rho infinity hat will be the equilibrium solution of some rescale version of the first equation, which is here. So when you rescale the first equation in the following way, then you get this one, and you can show that rho infinity hat is actually the stationary solution of this one. So actually what we are doing here, so what we'll do finally is the following. So first you'll see that rho will be a solution of the first equation if and only if rho hat is the solution of the second equation. So to study the asymptotic behavior of every solution rho t to rho infinity, what I'll do, I'll study the asymptotic behavior of rho hat to the stationary solution rho hat infinity, and from there I'll conclude the asymptotic behavior of the previous one. And now, using again my formulation, then you can write the rescale equation in this way again. So what you add is that, okay, rho hat, you have here rho hat y. Okay. So that's what I just explained. Then now what we do, okay, we move, okay, the asymptotic behavior of the first equation to the asymptotic behavior of the second, so the second equation. And now when you take the second equation, so the question, okay, that we are asking now is, so under this constraint, okay, do we have, okay, do rho hat, okay, that rho hat, okay, goes to rho infinity. And now what is the rate at which, okay, rho hat is going to rho infinity? And also we wanted to know if the rate is optimal. So, okay, what I'll show, as I told you, I show that my result is as follows. So I show that, okay, if the initial energy, okay, is finite, and for m bigger than n plus p, n minus p plus 1, okay, therefore, okay, the solution, the fundamental solution exists for m bigger than n minus p over n times p minus 1. So first, already there is a gap between n minus p and n minus p plus 1 there. So I don't know, okay, what happened. So what I show is that, so when m, okay, verifies this condition, then you have exponential decay in relative entropy at the rate 2, when p is equal to 2, and at the rate 1, when p is different from 2. So there immediately you obtain the best rate for the Peale-Attraction equation, the best rate in the case t = when you have a gradient flow. But okay, when you don't have a gradient flow, you will see that the rate actually is not optimal. So my alpha will be 1. So that's what I mean by convergence in relative entropy. And so I probably won't go through it, through this one. So when p is between 1 and 2, you can obtain also a convergence in Weierstrass distance using the inequality that I told you before. Inequality related the Weierstrass distance to the relative entropy. And they also, I don't know how to prove the inequality in the case when p is bigger than 2. So, okay, let's draw a few remarks here. So consider the case of the Peale-Attraction equation. When m is equal to 1 and p is different from 2, so what I have, okay, my result here extends the result of Dolbeau and Delpino, which are only true when p is less than n. So the second thing is that, okay, the rate I obtain here is sharper than their rate when p is bigger than 2, but it's not sharp, okay, when p is less than 2. And so far, I don't know how to make it sharper. I have some ideas, then I'm trying to work on it, but apparently it's not giving anything. So which proves that the question, okay, optimal rate, okay, is open. And yeah, so his talk is actually the gradient flow. That's so dead for the gradient flow. You can predict already, okay, what is the optimal rate, because you can compute the Hessian. And here we can, I don't know how to compute it. But one idea probably is to linearize the equation around the equilibrium one, and then maybe try to see, okay, how the linearized equation, yeah, that's, but it requires a lot of computation, then maybe you have to sit down and enter it. I was trying to avoid it, but apparently maybe there is the only way, that's the only way I can do about it. So, and now also there is one, so no rate, okay, is known, okay, in this range here. And for the Peale-Attraction equation, is the range, okay, 2n plus 1, 2n over n plus 1, and 2n plus 1 divided by n plus 1. So they are actually quite some open problems here. So now, okay, the way we solve this is the step, okay, that I told you before. Okay, first you can show that the stationary solution of my equation, of the rescale equation, okay, verify this equality there, and it actually is the minimizer of the following Lyapunov functional, which is the internal energy plus the potential energy. And there, when you compute the energy dissipation, when you take the derivative of this, the energy, okay, in time, then you prove that is equal to some quantity which is negative, and when rho is equal to the rho infinity, the quantity is equal to 0. We tell you that is the right Lyapunov functional. Then the next step is to find our Lobsov-Boolean type inequality. And the way I do it, as I told you, is to use mass transportation inequality. And this inequality is known as, okay, the energy inequality, which was proved, okay, by myself in 2 years ago. So, okay, what does it tell you? So suppose that you have two densities, rho 0 and rho 1, and you know that, okay, you can push rho 0 to rho 1 in an optimal way. And the cost you pay for it, I assume that the cost you pay for it is the cost that is given by my equation. And now what you do, then you try to draw a path, okay, going from rho 0 to rho 1. So you can prove that when you interpolate between identity and the optimal mass T, this path is optimal. It's actually the minimal path, I mean, when you look at the LP Weierstrass distance. So what I mean by that is mean that if I take any density, let's say rho, the Weierstrass distance between rho 0 to rho plus the Weierstrass distance between rho to rho 1 will be always bigger than the Weierstrass distance when I move, okay, on this minimal geodesic. And now under this constraint here, if the function f is equal to 0 and xn fx minus n is convex and non-increasing, is a condition that was imposed by McCann in stages in 97, you can prove that this function here is actually convex. And they call, I mean, the literature is called, okay, the displacement convexity. And now when you express the convexity, it's telling you that, okay, when you take the distance between rho 1 and rho 0, so this distance has to be bigger than, I mean, measure with respect to the entropy has to be bigger than the tangent, then you get this inequality, which is nothing but the energy inequality. And what you do next is to apply this energy inequality to our equation here. So you apply it with rho naught equal to rho t and rho 1 equal rho infinity, and then you get the following. You get this? And now you can split it in two parts. Because actually you don't know what is T. So when you split it in two parts, then the first part is rho identity gradient F prime rho is actually one part of the energy dissipation already, which I call I3. And now the second part, what you do, then you make, if you look at this energy inequality, has not, it doesn't have, okay, the potential energy. So what you do, you make the potential appear inside the equation by using the Young inequality. So you use Young inequality there, and you use again the fact that T transports rho naught onto rho 1, and then you get the potential energy of rho infinity. And there you add again the potential energy of the rho C inside this equation, which is already another part of the energy dissipation equation. So now you have three parts of the energy dissipation equation, and then one part of it is left. So what's happening is that when P is equal to 2, this I4 here is nothing but I3. Then it means that you can split this as two times. You can split it as one half I3, one half I4, and then you get the best rate right away in the case P equal to 2. But when P is different from 2, it's a little bit harder. So what I do, when P is different from 2, I apply again Young's inequality on this equation. So when P is different from 2, you apply again Young's inequality on that one, and then you can estimate actual value of I4 in this way. And what you do, if you look at, now you split, actually one, you have 1 Q over I2, Q is the conjugate of P, is I2 minus 1 P, I2. And 1 P over I1 is I1 minus 1 Q I1, and then you obtain your I4 from there. Then you have, okay, rate 1 for the P Laplacian equation, for instance, and other P different from 2. But I think this estimate probably is just rough, then it's not giving you the best rate. And so I don't know yet, okay, how to prove the best rate. And they are really nice examples. For the heat porous medium, then you have the best rate there. And for the P Laplacian equation, then you have the rate 1 there. And so the only tool that we use are the energy inequality and Young's inequality. So that's it. And I have to say something that actually this inequality, this method of using, okay, Young's inequality already appeared, okay, in one paper, in the paper of Cordero, Villani, and we use also pretty much, okay, the same idea with Kang to obtain some Log-Sobolev inequality and some other Gabriel-Nirenberg inequality. So thank you.